All right, thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible, if you will, this morning. Open it to the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, if you would. John chapter 10. This Christmas time, December, is always an extremely busy time of year. And it's like, really, like all the rest of the year, all the time is busy nowadays. And we get caught up in being busy, and we forget the things of God. And I hope you'll not let that happen. I hope you will not allow that to take place with you. And you will pray for folks and remember to lift them up in prayer. By the way, if you would pray for Ms. McFate, her family, her uncle died yesterday. She's one we mentioned last Sunday, was not doing well. And so would you pray for that family, please? And if you'll do me a favor this morning, if you would just listen for the next 30 minutes. Focus on listening to what is said, not because of me, but because of the Scripture and the subject matter. And you'd pay attention. You'd listen on purpose. If you're tempted to talk, get out your phone and text the person next to you, all right? That won't bother anybody near as much as you talking will bother people. So just focus. Stay with us, and we'll be done. I promise to finish as soon as I can, all right? And unlike some preachers I've heard, I promise when I get through, I will stop, all right? And but I will do that. Just one verse, if you will, John chapter 10, verse 11. The Bible said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You notice five very simple words. Five very simple words. I am the good shepherd. Simple words, but my soul, what a wealth of meaning. What a depth of meaning. When you read your Bible and you study your Bible, there's a lot of representations, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ in this book. I mean, he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the Alpha and Omega. And boy, we just go on and on and on. And if you've been in church very long, you've heard many different ones preached on. And if you'll keep coming in the weeks ahead, you'll hear them preached on again, all right? We've read them, all right? But I don't believe there's a more personal picture of Jesus Christ in the Bible than the one of the Good Shepherd. Now, what a picture it portrays for us. All through the Bible, the Lord is portrayed as the shepherd of the sheep, and the believer is seen as those sheep. We are those sheep, all right? Probably the most well-known passage in the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That chapter deals with the sheep and the shepherd, all right? But I want you to notice with me the emphasis today on the good shepherd. The Bible does not say, and Jesus did not say, that he was a shepherd. He said he was the good shepherd. Notice, the good shepherd. There's a big difference between a shepherd and the good shepherd. And would you just notice that with me this morning as we just look here in this scripture, all right? I want you to notice just several things about it. Verse 14 says this, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. And know my sheep. What a blessing it is that he knows his sheep. Verse 3 in this chapter says, he calleth his own sheep by name. He knows his sheep. He knows them not as a number, not as a number. But he knows his sheep. He knows them by name. They're not merely a familiar face in a crowd, but he knows them. We were eating yesterday in a restaurant, my wife and I, and a fellow come up and said, hey, Brother Mosley. And I looked up at him and I had to think just a minute. Who is this guy? But I remembered who he was, all right? And fortunately, I could remember his name, all right? Hadn't been to church in probably 16 years, you know, something like that. He did tell me that he was here for our 50th anniversary. That's 20 years ago. So we were talking just a little bit. But sometimes, you know people and you know people, but you can't remember their name, right? Anybody ever been through that? And yeah, I do. And I have people, they'll say something to me. Some of them, their name doesn't come to mind until 15 minutes after I leave them. Oh, yeah, that was that person's name. And I know I knew them, but I can't remember their name. But the Bible says the Lord knows his sheep. And he calls us by our name. I watch a show about a veterinarian, the incredible Dr. Pohl. And I'm not necessarily advertising the show, but I find it interesting. A lot of kids bring their animals to him. And the other day I was watching this little girl brought in. She had these two goats, and they were both named. She knew them by name, She called them by name. I've been with people that had a whole bunch of animals, and they knew all their names. Knew all their names. My cousin Peggy, she's departed this life and going to be with the Lord, and we went to see her one time, and she had a flock of chihuahuas, okay? There were dogs everywhere, and she knew all their names, and they all, to me, they're just like one yapper after another yapper, I couldn't tell them apart, but she knew them by name, and she'd refer to their name. She'd get down from there, and she'd call their name, and she knew them. Hey, I'm so glad our Lord knows us. The Good Shepherd, he knows us by name. He knows us. He knows, when you know somebody that well, you know their characteristics. You know their quirks. Not that any of us have any quirks, of course. Yeah, he knows us all. He knows them by name. The question is, does he know you? Does he know you? The Bible says that one day some will hear him say, I never knew you. I never knew you. And some people are going to say, well, wait a minute, I did wonderful things in your name. But the Lord's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. The question is, does he know you? Hey, it's not enough to just claim you're his. Real ownership must be established, okay? Real ownership. Does he know you? The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. Second thing I want you to see, and we read that verse there in verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. He calls to his sheep. Hey, friend, that tells me that there's something he has to say to us. Those that belong to him, there's something he has to say to us. He's got a right to say it also because they're his. They're his. I remember when my kids were growing up, I would sometimes call them aside and say something to them. Maybe we were in a group and there were other kids there, and I would tell mine, you don't do that again, or you be careful, you quit what you're doing, you stop that. And I said something to them because they belong to me. I didn't say anything to the other ones, maybe. They weren't mine. Their mama and daddy should have taken care of that. But the ones that were mine, I talked to the ones that were mine. I remember my dad doing that to my brother and I on occasion. We belonged to him, and he would call us. He didn't always call us by name. Sometimes he called me by my uncle's name, but I knew he was talking to me, all right? But he'd call us and he'd speak to us. He had something to say. Listen, if you're his sheep, you ought to be listening for his voice. You ought to be listening for his voice. You ought to have a desire to hear from him. Hey, that's one reason God's people ought to be in church. Now, why'd you come? I wanted to hear from heaven. That's why I'm here. Well, I'm here. Well, he could speak to me at home. Yes, he could. But you know what the Bible says? Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And by the way, he's told us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. All right? So we ought to be here. He wants us here. Why? so he can speak to us. He can speak to us. Man, when I go to church, I want God to speak to me. I want to hear from heaven, all right? And that ought to be a desire from us, all right? You say, well, preacher, I've just never heard that voice. I've never heard the audible voice either. But I'll tell you this, there's been times when we've been singing some of the great songs of the faith, and I could feel God speak to me while the singing was going on. While the preaching was going on, I'd hear him. He'd speak to me. He'd speak to me. Hey, there have been times during the preaching of the Word of God, I'd have my Bible open where the preacher called out the text, but my eyes would light on a verse on the maybe the other side, and the Lord would say, boy, you listening, I'm talking to you right there. Hey, I want him to speak to me. If you're his sheep, he won't speak to you. And you know what? If you're his sheep, you'll come when he calls. You'll come when he calls. You don't ignore him. You don't put him off. Now, I don't know what your parents were like. But when my dad called, we didn't ignore him. We didn't know. And by the way, I don't ever remember saying, just wait a minute, Dad, I'm busy. Hey, man, I was married. And Dad would call. There were times when I wanted to say, Dad! But because it was Dad, I said, okay. Okay, I'll be there. Hey, sheep come at his call. We don't ignore his voice. We don't put him off. We don't turn a deaf ear to what he says. Hey, listen, I believe this with all my heart. If you do that, maybe you're not his sheep. Maybe you're not his sheep. You turn a deaf ear to what he says. Hey, if he calls you to the altar, you'll come. You'll come. Well, what is somebody going to think? Doesn't matter. Because the good shepherd called you. He called you. He calls you to the altar. You'll come. You'll come. You don't put it off. You don't say, I'll pray right here. No. He calls you, you'll come. If he calls you into full-time service, you answer that call. You don't run. You don't run. You don't say, not me. I'm taking off. No. You're his sheep. The good shepherd calls. You yield. You said, I'll be there. I'll do. I hear your call. I'll respond to the call of my shepherd. I'm going to do it. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd calls to his sheep. Boy, I like this. He leads his sheep. He leads his sheep. Five times in the Gospel of Matthew, we find Jesus saying either to individuals or to groups, these two words, follow me. Follow me. Hey, that's still his invitation to believers today. You hear me? That's still his invitation to you. You. Hey, Nick, that's his invitation to you. He's calling you to follow him. Calling you to follow him. It's not just my brother over here. It's not just Brother Dunbar back there. It's not just those that are involved in full-time service. He's calling every one of his sheep to follow him. He wants you to do that. Notice John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. He goeth before them. The great picture in the scripture of the good shepherd and the sheep, the difference between the sheep and cattle, you drive cattle. You drive cattle. You don't do that with sheep. Sheep, the shepherd leads them. He strikes out. The Bible said he goes before them and they follow him. They follow him. Boy, what a wonderful picture. You and I need to get this firmly established in our mind and our will. It's his job to lead. It's our job to follow. We get it mixed up sometimes. We live in a day where people like to tell God, here's what we're going to do, God. Oh, no, that's not the way it works. No, we follow him. He leads the sheep. He's ahead of us, all right? Hey, that he never leads where we cannot follow. I don't know if you ever played the game Follow the Leader when you were a kid. And a person who was leading would try to lead you where you could not follow. There are places that I've seen pictures of. And if you were leading me, I would say, I ain't going. Man, I've seen people walking along this knife-edge ridge. And it's 5 million feet over here and 4.5 million feet over here. Looks that way to me anyway. I ain't going, okay? If that's where you want to go, see you when you get back. Or pick you up on the ground later, all right? But I'm not going. But the good thing about the Good Shepherd, he never leads you where you can't follow. Never, never. You say, well, I couldn't go there. You could if he leads. You can if he leads. You can do it, all right? He never tells us to go where he hasn't already been. Because he leads his sheep. And hear this. He never leads and then leaves. Did you hear that? He never leads you somewhere and then leaves you there. No, he'll be with you. The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. He leads his sheep. But where he leads is always to better things. It's always to the best place for you. Wherever that is. Hey, it might be to the jungle somewhere. It might be to some major city somewhere. It might be to another country where you don't know the language. But I want to tell you something. If he leads you, he will not leave you. He'll do it. But I'll tell you something else about the Good Shepherd. He feeds his sheep. He feeds his sheep. David said it this way in the 23rd Psalm. He said, he maketh me to lie down in dried up places. Now, you know that's not what it says. The Bible says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. It's fresh and new every day. He feeds his sheep. He invites us to come and dine. I'm reminded that day yonder in John chapter 21 when the disciples had been out fishing, hadn't caught anything, and he told them, well, cast the net in a different place. And they had all the fish they needed, and they drug them in. And he said to them when they got to the shore, come and dine. Come and dine. He fed his sheep. He'll feed us. That's his invitation, all right? His invitation, he'll feed us if we just let him, all right? If we'd let him. But here's the key. He can't feed you if you don't let him lead you. He cannot feed you if you'll not let him lead you. Man, because he leads you to where he wants to feed you. The Bible tells us about Elijah. Elijah, God put him up on the brook Cherith. And that's where he sent the ravens to feed him. That's where he sent the ravens to feed him. Now, if Elijah had gone to the Mississippi River, okay, he would have missed the meal, all right? That wasn't where it was. If he had gone down to the Nile River, he'd have missed the meal. If he had gone over to the Tigris or the Euphrates River, he'd have missed the meal. But it was there on the brook Cherith where God led him that he fed him, all right? He'll feed you where he leads you, but you got to get where he wants you to be, and he'll take care of you, and he feeds you. Listen, that's the Good Shepherd. He cares for his sheep, all right? He cares for his sheep. He doesn't just take them and say, well, you're on your own, all right? Don't do that. He's the Good Shepherd, the Good Shepherd. He leads us. He feeds us, all right? He speaks to us. He knows us. All of those things are true. But back to verse 11. In John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, listen. He's not an hireling. He's not an hireling. The Bible tells us a hireling doesn't give a care for the sheep. Doesn't care for the sheep. When the wolf comes, they'll run. They'll run. The great picture in the Old Testament's David, the shepherd boy. He went and testified to Saul. He said, I was keeping the sheep. And he said, the bear and the wolf came, he said, I took care of the sheep. I took care of the sheep. I slew them. I slew them. You hear me? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. When the wolf came, when Satan came, the Lord didn't desert us, all right? Oh, Satan did his best to destroy the good shepherd, but he failed. He failed. He thought, well, I've got him. Oh, no, the good shepherd was willing to lay down his life so that his sheep could live. That's the Bible picture. You hear me? In those days of a crucifixion, when an individual was going to be crucified, there wasn't an individual in the lot that ever stretched out and said, go ahead and drive the nail. They fought him. They fought him. If you were crucifying me, I would fight you. I would fight you. I would try my best to poke your eyes out, okay? I would do everything I could. And you know, I'd bite you if I could bite you, all right? I'd just do whatever I could to do it, all right? But the Bible picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, he laid down his life. Those Roman soldiers were around. I believe they were ready for a fight. But our Lord stretched out that arm and allowed him to drive that nail into him. He stretched out. I don't believe those Roman soldiers ever seen anybody like Jesus. Never. He gave his life for the sheep. In the Bible, he paid the total price for the sin of man. He paid the total price. When he was speaking here in John chapter 10, the cross was on the horizon. It was down the road. It was approaching. It was soon coming. There was no shirking. There was no shunning of that cross. He died for the sheep. He died for you. He died for you. He took your place. The Bible says he bore our sins in his body on that tree. Not his. He literally became sin for us. And he died for it. That's the good shepherd. That's the good shepherd. Can I ask you this morning? Does the good shepherd know you? Do you know him? Do you belong to him today? Are you listening for his voice? I've seen kids before. Their parents were talking to them. I've seen kids take both fingers, stick them in their ear when their parents were speaking to them. Now, they did not have my dad or my mom for a parent. That would have only happened once. And I'll be honest with you, if it had me for a parent, that would have only happened once. Once. But I've seen kids do that. Surely, as a child of God, you wouldn't do that when the Lord's speaking to you. Yet I've seen people that profess to be his seemingly ignore what he says. Refuse to listen to him. Hey, do you hear him? Better yet, do you desire to hear from him? Do you desire to hear from him? Now, I said you ought to be in church because the Lord wants to speak to you. But I tell you this, I want him to speak to me on Monday and on Tuesday and on Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I'm not satisfied just to visit with him a few minutes on Sunday. I want to hear from him. That's why I read my Bible. Do you desire to hear from him today? Hey, are you following where he leads? Or are you resisting today that leading? Are you feeding in his pasture that he's taken you to? Are you looking for something else better somewhere else? Maybe he's got that fence in and you've got your head sticking through the fence trying to eat on the outside like an old dumb cow. You drive through the country, you don't have to usually drive too long. You'll find some cow with their head sticking through the fence when there's beautiful green grass right there where they are. That's a picture of a lot of God's people. I ask you, you listening for his call? Do you desire to hear from him? Are you feeding from him? Allowing him to feed you? Are you following where he leads? If you're not and you profess to belong to him, what's wrong? What's wrong? Sometimes we as sheep wander off. Wander off. The good shepherd will come looking for you. He'll come looking for you. But why do you make him do that? Because in the process, we get all beat up. We get away from the best pasture. We get out of sound of his voice. Get away from him. And man, we wind up in a mess. And he'll come looking for you. But why you want to live like that? Why don't you decide I'm going to follow where he leads? I'm going to be right there where he is. I'll listen for his call. I'll listen for him to call my name. And I'll be desiring to hear from him. And I won't turn a deaf ear. And if he says, follow me here, I'll follow him wherever he leads. After all, he gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted him as your Savior. The price for your sin has been paid. Will you take him today as your Savior? Would you just be willing when the invitation begins, step out, walk down, meet me here at the front and say, preacher, I want to trust the Savior. I want to trust him. He's calling. He's calling. Are you listening? Our Heavenly Father, I pray today you might deal with us. Lord, help us as your sheep to listen for your call. Lord, maybe there's some here this morning, they've wandered away. They've gotten away from you. They're out in the mountain, Lord, in the cold and in the storm. Lord, I pray you'd help them to come back. Lord, I pray that you'd realize and we'd realize that you're coming, you're calling for us. Lord, we'd have a ready ear to listen for that call. Lord, speak to us today. Lord, I pray that as the good shepherd, we'd follow you, we'd feed where you lead us, and we'd do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing?